Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Star Chamber Show, episode number 91. That's pretty darn good. Almost to 100, yeah. So this is a good thing.
And they said it wouldn't last.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, it's even the new and improved phase of the Star Chamber Show, almost like our season two in a way. you've heard the voices, so I'm going to introduce them real quickly, but co-hosts this weekend with me are Daniel Dark, and also back, and he's been here since the beginning of the Star Chamber Show, Michael West.
How's everybody doing tonight?
Doing good.
Yeah, Michael's just come off we're going to be talking about events later, and he just came off a big one this last weekend with Horror Hound Columbus. So Michael's probably still recovering from that because he's a very popular guy at the Horror Hounds.
Yeah, it was a nice time. It was good to connect with my Columbus faithful readers and met some new readers as well. It's the first time that Horror Hound's been in Columbus since 2011. So the last time we were there was right after the release of my third novel, Poseidon's Children. So I had quite a bit new. For people this time around.
That's a good thing indeed. And you had some very well-loved help, somebody that I know that, you know, myself, Holly, everybody in the SSP camp just loves dearly. You had Robin Blankenship with you this weekend.
That's right.
Hopefully she's listening in tonight.
Yeah,
I want to give her a shout-out.
She was wonderful. She my minions could not make it to this one, which it was kind of weird because it's the first Horror Hound I've ever been to, since the beginning, the first one, that I didn't have at least one family member there with me. So it was kind of odd, but Robin stepped up and, did a really good job. And Robin's great because Robin's read all my stuff. So she was able to, make suggestions and answer questions if I was, away from the table. It's just great to, it's like I've been doing the Horror Hounds, like you said, since the beginning. And, it's just become this huge kind of extended family reunion. You know, there are people, it's funny cause we talk about this, but there are people who live like, you know, 5-10 minutes away from me who like, I'll comment that I'm seeing a movie at a certain theater and whatnot. And they're like, hey, I'm at that theater. And we never see each other. We never see each other except at Horror Hound. And Horror Hound is the only place that we see each other. So it's very strange.
That's like the dynamic I have with Jason Sizemore of Apex Publications. We both live in Lexington. You know, we're both, you know, within about a 10-minute drive of each other, give or take a couple. And yet the only time we ever see each other is like out of town at book events. It's one of the weirdest things. I've talked to him about it, and it's just one of the weirdest things, you know, for sure. Because, at least at the book events, you know, everybody's finally getting kick back and, you know, visit, and nobody's being rushed to anything crazy at that moment. So you get to really visit with your readers, and that's a really cool aspect of a convention like that.
Yeah, and this was a smaller convention. It was all holiday themed, so it was kind of cool to see guests from holiday themed horror, which is a very very small niche, but they had some very very cool photo opportunities that I took advantage of. So.
I saw a million pictures of you as celebrities and stuff, and I'm sure knowing you, you probably picked up some goodies too for your museum.
I now have a syringe of reanimation fluid from the movie Reanimator, which is cool.
Yeah, Holly flipped out about that. She loved that picture.
Oh yeah, it was funny because I had been wanting one for a long time, and usually at these things, it's like I've got a million other things that I need to take care of, and so I keep telling the guy who has them that, you know, it's like one of these days I'm gonna have to pick that up from you, and he had one with him, and I snagged it.
Nice.
In the opening minutes of the show, so all weekend long he had it on display with a sold sign on it. And
yeah, that's not the kind of thing you wait till Sunday to see if you can bargain for it. No, that's gonna get snapped up.
Yeah, that was right away. Well, it was funny because just before that, I had gotten a hold of a replica of the I don't know if you've seen Bride of Reanimator, but there's a little creature that he makes out of fingers and an eyeball, and I had just picked up one of those. So now I have that little guy sitting next to the Reanimator syringe, right next to the signed posters from Reanimator and Bride of Reanimator. So it's very, very nice.
Yeah, you almost could charge admission to come see your memorabilia. You got such a nice, nice group of stuff now.
Well, it's you know, I'm beginning to feel like a curator because I'm like I'm going through my stuff. I'm like saying, okay, do I have enough room for all this? Am I going to have to like put some out and leave some back and like rotate, or you know, what am I going to have to do?
Ooh, it's like the basement of the Smithsonian, the basement of the West House. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where you put the Nephilim skeletons, is in the basement.
Well, the my office proper is the more horror themed items, and then we've got the guest room / kind of a meeting area, kind of a thing, and that's going to be more 80s fantasy themed, so it kind of bridges both of my worlds, the dark fantasy and the horror.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, you're a busy guy, too. And, we got something that's going to be of interest to artists that are listening to the show tonight, because you've got a cover art contest going on. It's the deadline is November 22nd, and it's for upcoming short
tonight.
Story. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so tell us about the contest and the short story, and give us a scoop.
Yeah, the short story, I'm really proud of it. It's about a young woman who... And I wrote it. it's interesting how things work out, because I wrote it, at least the first draft of it, you know, much earlier this year. And it was about a young woman in New York and in the financial world, kind of dealing with, you know, sexual harassment and trying to make it and deal with things and. You know, always at the back of her mind is her mother, you know, telling her, you know, the city will eat you alive, you know, you shouldn't do this, you know, whatnot. And it's kind of interesting that now the whole sexual harassment issue has come to the fore.
Right.
So she's leaving work one night, and on her way home on the subway, she encounters a pack of ravenous, carnivorous, subterranean creatures. So, and it's about her fight to literally now survive in New York City. And it takes place in 1984, so it was cool to have a lot of early 80s references in there and kind of capture the – I did a lot of research. Because I was in New York in the 80s, but not in the early 80s. And it was interesting that, you know, how much things had changed even, you know, when I went in like 87, how different things were than they were like, you know, just a few years before. And definitely how different they are than now in the post-Bloomberg Disney renovations of New York. So, it's a very, very gritty story, very fast-paced, action-packed story, But hopefully the artists who are submitting will, you know, take the cues of you know, the Subways and Teeth and Claws and 80s and whatnot and come up with some very interesting designs that we can choose from. But the deadline is midnight, so 11:59 p.m., 1 week from today, is the deadline. And I'll be over Thanksgiving weekend looking at all the entries, making up my mind, and we will make the big announcement on Cyber Monday, at which point we
yes.
can also hopefully, you know, pre-order the story, which will be out, correct me if I'm wrong, Stephen, but December?
Oh, yeah, December, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. A nice Christmas gift for all the readers
yes.
of Michael West.
Yes, And I, you know, I felt bad for my faithful readers who keep, you know, messaging me, said, when are you going to have some new stuff? When are you going to have some new stuff? And I just, you know, I'm hard at work on the new Legacy of the Gods novel. You know, in the meantime, this is my little peace offering, Christmas yeah. gift to all my faithful readers out there that, you know, it may not be, you know, a new novel, but at least it's something that you can enjoy.
Well, it counts. And yeah, go to the Seventh Star Press website, seventhstarpress.com, and you will see it's on the main page. It's one of the most recent posts, but you'll see all the information about that contest if you'd like to participate. And you got about a week to do it, so get on that, artist, and make Mike proud. It's gonna be cool. It's gonna be a cool little Christmas release here. But
yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing what people think of it. Like I said, I'm happy with it, and I've been encouraged by the feedback I've been getting on it from people who've read it so far. So I'm anxious to let everyone, you know, to experience it.
Awesome.
Sounds good, Michael.
Well, tonight we're going to be getting into the topic of setting up events as an independent creative. And that means if you're like a writer, setting up a book signing, if you're a filmmaker, setting up a film screening. I mean, there's so many similarities between all these different spheres, I mean, in the basic kind of philosophy behind them. So this does apply to all different kinds of creatives with events. We probably will skew it a little bit more toward authors, you know, doing book signings and things like that, because all three of us are in that world. I've set up my own film screening, so I can talk on that. But just keep in mind the principles that we talk about tonight will apply to pretty much any scenario where you're setting up a private event, or not private, but you know, you are the one setting up the event as opposed to going to be a guest at an event. And that's Daniel. I guess Daniel could even kick it off because he just recently had his debut novel, Knife's Tale, come out. And so he's just getting into this phase. And he recently did set up his own event that went very well at a Barnes & Noble down in Tennessee. So maybe Daniel can kick off the discussion, talking a little about your first experience of setting up events.
Yeah, and honestly, it's a whole lot easier than what I was expecting it to be. Going in and asking for a time and everything is just, they can say yes or no. You know, and it doesn't matter either way. You know, if they say no, go find somebody else that will say yes. Barnes & Noble, I had been there writing and everything. They knew me, and they said, yes, you know, right off. They're like, yes, we'll have it at this time. And according to their figures, I sold more books than most of the new authors that ever come in there. And that they were very pleased with the number that I sold that day. But the biggest thing that I can say about it is be cordial and be, you know, be happy about what you're doing. And be helpful with, you know, ask them if, you know, there's anything that you need to do for them. Like, I just set up another event for January 20th and one for December 12th. One of them's at a library, and the other one's at another Barnes & Noble in Nashville. And the one in, and both of them, they wanted, you know, specific things from me, you know, to send to them that I could send them over the internet. And the Barnes & Noble and the library are both going to put ads in, like, the paper and different things. They're actually going to promote my events as well as me promoting them. And, you know, just find out what they're willing to do for you and what, you know, what you need to do for yourself. And always promote your own stuff. You know, don't leave it up to somebody else to have the people there for you, because you may not have anybody there. I've also got another one that I'll be setting up sometime in between now and Christmas at a cigar shop. You know, mine is a, you know, Ripper type novel that men will read. So I've got a buddy that owns a cigar shop, and he's like, yeah, well, you know, we've got a book club that meets here. You know, we'll do with the book club and do a wine tasting and different things like that. And, you know, we'll promote this thing out and, you know, try to have 50 or 60 people here for it, which is great for me and everything. So, you know, when it comes to getting a signing or getting an event started, the first thing that I know to do is just go out there and ask, because nothing is going to keep you from getting it done except for you not asking. You know, find places that, you know, whether it's a coffee shop or any place that has space that they will allow you to come in and set up for a little while and do a signing. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
But, you know, whether you're doing a signing or whether you're, you know, if you're doing a, like a movie release and everything, you know, find a theater that, you know, may let you do that in an off hour or in between, you know, shows at one of their places. If you have a local, you know, movie theater that doesn't play all the brand new shows all the time, you know, or a stage, you know, stage theater that, you know, does stage plays and everything, they may have the ability to do a screening. So, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, thinking outside the box and thinking about where you could go and set up something at.
Well, I love the fact that you mentioned. I love the fact you mentioned thinking out of the box, because that's something actually that I've been given a lot of thought to in the last year or so, and that resulted in two very successful for me events that I did that I set up myself that were both kind of like that. One was a Books and Bourbon event at a Kroger Wine and Spirits shop right here in Lexington, Kentucky, because I, you know, people know that I like bourbon, and of course I love books, and thought it'd be fun to have an actual bourbon tasting to go with a book signing at a, you know, at a liquor store. And it sounds like a little crazy, but it was an absolute blast. Really good turnout. People that walked in really loved it and were easy to talk with. I sold several books to people who are just walk-ins, and it was just a whole different climate. You know, it was just very, very fun and very upbeat. And then the other one was in Vivi, Indiana, and that was at Switzerland Community Art Center there, and it was kind of like an art gallery book signing. I had a book event in the art gallery. And it was, again, same kind of vibe. I mean, just a different kind of vibe, really fun, very upbeat. And both of them were not your traditional bookstores kind of signings. They were both different environments, but they worked out really well. If you can figure out like a segue with each one, like the one had the bourbon tasting coupled with it. The other one was kind of a celebration of heroines and literature, kind of going with the kind of art vibe that they have at the art gallery. And so, I mean, they worked out really, really well. And so don't always think of just the traditional venue. for a book event, you know, that would be like, you know, a bookstore or library kind of event or something like that. Do you think, like Daniel was talking about and referencing the couple that I've been talking about, do you think out of the box? I think the, you know, having the cigar store set up is great. You know, just think creatively. Yeah, game stores, all kinds of stuff. And yeah, it's Holly yelling in the background there, piping in tonight. But it's yeah, games. There's lots of different possibilities. And then just quickly,
well, if you're an artist and everything, how many different restaurants can you set up art, put out art at?
Oh yeah,
you know,
all day long. Yeah,
people come in there to buy that art. They won't. They probably won't buy it off the wall, but they'll suddenly remember who did the art. A lot of times, if you've got cards there, you can sell art by having it on the walls for a week or 2 weeks at different locations.
Right.
You know, in restaurants, coffee shops, you know, whatever. And, you know, these places, you know, a lot of times they have bare walls that they would love to have some good artwork on. You know, so, you know, just think about, you know, where can I take whatever I'm doing and get it in the public's hands or get them to actually find out about it and find out about you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Stephen, you're great at doing that. Like I say, you know, when you did that one at Kroger's and everything, I was like, he's at a Kroger's. I would have never thought about going to a Kroger's. You know, I know that it was in the liquor section and everything. Is it a Kroger's store that's just a liquor store?
It's a Kroger liquor store that's attached. It's another section that's attached to the main grocery store. But it's like its own shop, but it's called Kroger Wine and Spirits.
Okay. But, you know, they've got a little bit of wine and stuff that you can buy at the Kroger's down here. You know, you can got like an aisle.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, this is a full store. Yeah.
So when I saw it, everything said Kroger's liquor store, and I'm like, okay, that's a little bit bigger than what we've got here. But
no, it was
state, you know, what can you do in different states, in different countries?
Oh, definitely.
You know, what can you do in, say, England that you can't do here? Or what can you do, you know, in Hawaii that you can't do here?
Right.
You know, just different things. You know, wherever you're at, figure out what would relate to what you're selling. And
definitely
go and ask.
Now, I think the thing that both of you guys do great is I mean, there's three things that I always kind of keep in mind with events, and that's promote, and you've already touched on that, Daniel, presentation, and then the third area is performance. And I think you guys excel at all three of those because in like your case and Michael's case, I mean, when you guys do events, I mean, you guys do a great job of promoting. I mean, you do your part to get the word out. People that you did promote to did come to your event in Tennessee, Daniel, because I know a few of them definitely showed up. And so you guys do a great job on that phase. And then presentation, I mean, you guys both know how to set up a great looking display. You know, of course you always come dressed for the part, Daniel and Michael. You've always got, you know, just a really spot on setup wherever you're doing your events. And then what I call performance, it's not that you're putting on an act, but you definitely are on. It's like you bring your A game. You're engaging. You engage the readers. You know, you're not just sitting, hiding behind the table or something like that. Or you know, you are in front, out in front of representing your stuff. And that's what
right.
I would describe as performance.
You know, I don't know how many times I've gone to events, whether it be conventions or book more author related book fairs or whatnot, and you see the author or the vendor or whatnot just sitting there behind the table with their nose in their phone or, sometimes I've seen people with their laptops open, they're on the table just, writing and whatnot. And you do need to write, don't get me wrong, but, you know, there's a time and a place. And when you're there at your table, you're there for the readers. You're there for the public. You're there to, as you said, you know, engage them and interact with them. And that's why, you know, I sit down very rarely, you know, I want to be at eye level with people and you know, I don't want to talk down to them or them to talk down to me. You know, I want to be able to, you know, just converse with them, you know, and, you know, it's, you know, I've seen people who, you know, go out of their way to create personas and, you know, I find that, you know, if present company accepted Daniel, that you know, if you just
play
yourself, if you just yourself, you know, if you just talk to people, you know, people are interested in you as the author. You know, a lot of times they want to know what sicko creates the stuff that they read. but you know, people want to just talk with you, and they don't want a sales pitch. You know, they want to just talk to you and about what you do, and if they are into you and what you do, then they'll pick something up. If they aren't, they won't. But you know, I get a lot of great feedback from just, you know, talking to people just one-on-one, who've read my stuff and have things to say about, you know, what they liked or didn't like, or, you know, it's always interesting to hear what people are into and what facets of your work appealed to them, because, you know, you know, when you're sitting there writing, you're doing it for yourself more than anything. You know, you're just trying to get the story out, and you really aren't thinking about, you know, what you're not, or you shouldn't be writing to an audience, you know, trying to construct something that's going to appeal to a certain audience. You should be writing for yourself and doing the best story that you can. And it's always great to see, you know, what facets of the story connect with people and on different levels and for different reasons.
Yeah, that was something we actually, Holly and I were talking about in depth in the Creative Cauldron, and that's the danger of, you know, when you watch trends too much, you become an emulator instead of a creator and coming from,
exactly,
from within. And that's what I mean with the performance thing. It, you know, it's not you're putting on an act, but you're definitely bringing yourself forward into the forefront, and people get to see what you are about and what your unique voice is. And that's the important thing to bring across. And like Daniel, he is what he is. You know what I mean? Like that's one,
right,
of the coolest things that I discovered around Daniel. I mean, that's him. You know, and you know,
right,
you see Daniel,
right,
and his top hat. I mean, that's him, and
right,
and that's why it works. And
you,
when I meet
you,
see
you,
you know, yeah. And the same thing with Michael. I mean, the same thing, the vibe that you get when you come up to Michael with his, you know, elaborately decored table, you know, with his candelabras and all kinds of crazy stuff. And I mean, that's Michael. I mean, you are getting a taste of Michael, and that's
right,
that's the thing,
well,
that's kind of come across.
Yeah. You know, and I'll be the first to admit I'm a huge horror nerd. You know, I've seen just about everything. I've read, you know, just about everything. And you know, I just love the whole genre. And so it's great for me to just, you know, not even talk about my stuff, but just to talk about the genre with other fans, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you're talking about performance and everything. I'll be a dancing monkey, you know, pretty soon with the book signings that I've got coming up, because they're wanting me to bring my bike and possibly ride it if I can, do readings and question and answers and do signings. So.
Well, that's cool. And that's another thing is too, is that, yeah, when you are dealing with venues, find out what they'd like to have at their events. And that's exactly what Daniel is just talking about. He, you know, where they want him to do this or this or this, you know, do that for their audience. I mean, that's a brilliant thing for sure. And when talking to the venue, you know, it just kind of gets into the promotion aspect. But often, like you know, at a Barnes and Noble or something like that, you'll typically talk to the person who's in charge of marketing for Barnes and Noble, or their main PR person, typically is the one sets up, you know, the author events and whatnot. But they will have insights on, you know, like sometimes they'll have, instead of you having to go out and find what members of the media are friendly to promoting a book event, they might have a great relationship with certain person at a publication or a TV station or a radio station already, and then they can help you, you know, connect with that, and then so you can definitely make your promotional time more efficient. So talk to the venue on a number of levels. Find out what they want at their event, and also find out what kind of you know, what kind of allies they have in the media and things like that, because that'll help you a lot in making your promotion more efficient for doing your own events. And that's, and definitely listen to Daniel. It's exactly what he's doing.
Like right. The Barnes and Noble out on the 20th of January, they, you know, wanted me to send them, you know, a thing about the book, a thing about, you know, about me, headshots, you know, book covers, different things like that, so that they can make posters to put in the store and outside the store for that event, along with, you know, being able to promote it online and different things like that too. The library and everything, they wanted basically the same thing, but they were going to be putting it in the newspaper, you know, in Shelbyville where I live at, on the Bedford County, you know, newspaper. And, you know, they were like, we don't go out and put flyers out anywhere. That, you know, that is up to me, you know, to do flyers at different businesses that I can get them, you know, put in and stuff around the area, you know, so other people can find out about it. But, you know, I've got relationships with, like, the coffee shop and, you know, the bakery and, you know, different places like that that people go into that will allow me to put flyers in there so that, you know, people will be able to find out about what I'm doing and when I'm going to be there, you know, at the library to do the reading and do all the stuff, question and answer and stuff like that at the library. And, you know, when I did the first Barnes & Noble, you know, I'd had surgery the week before, so I was sort of like recovering and couldn't do as much promotion as I wanted to, you know, for that Barnes & Noble, and still, you know, was able to get people to come there, you know, but because I didn't wait and chill just that week. Because if I had I had about 2 weeks there that I was out of commission, but pretty much I couldn't drive. I couldn't do anything like that. You know, 1 week I was in the hospital and the next week I was not allowed to drive or anything because of the medication I was on.
Right.
So
yeah, you're a trooper. You went 1 week after being in the hospital.
Had surgery on Saturday, yeah. And then I had a book signing the next Saturday. You know, I'd already scheduled it. It's going to happen.
Yeah, you are a trooper. Oh my God. Yeah, because we were talking to you during that time, and I was like, oh boy, it's going to be tough for him to do the signing next week. And sure enough, he not only did it, he aced it. And he was, and yeah, he looks from the photos that you had a really good time too.
Michael can probably, you know, simplify this and everything, because I've never seen Michael that he didn't have a smile on his face when he was in, you know, anybody could look at him.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean,
the impish grin of Michael West, but it's a smile that tells you that he's got up to some mischief. It's not just the impish grin of Michael West. Oh yes.
Well, you know,
I know
it
well.
You know, if you don't enjoy what you do, you know, why are you doing it? So it's like I always have a wonderful time at events, and I'm hoping that, you know, it's infectious. I hope that other people have a good time, and it's just, you know, whether it be a book fair or author related event or a big convention, you know, it's like, especially at, you know, the horror shows or whatnot, I'm like a kid in a candy store, you know, it's it's a playground for me. So I'm all smiles.
Well, that's the key, because you make it fun, even no matter what. Because Michael and I, you know, we've done all kinds of events, and you know, frankly, you know, there's sometimes events that don't go as well sales wise as you hope, and but we still make the most of it, and we're still just like we are at a big event. We still are the same, you know, still give the same energy to it, and it's, you know, and that's exactly it. You know, you got to make it fun and enjoy it. You can't get bogged down just on if you're not hitting, you know, the sales figure you had in mind or whatever.
Well, and you know, you shouldn't put the emphasis so much on the sales of the moment, because what I've noticed, and Stephen, mm-hmm. I'm sure you can speak to this because you see the figures more than I do, but I always have my cards out there on the table. My business cards and the business cards have my website. They have my Amazon store. They have my Twitter. They have my Facebook. And I always notice after an event, an uptick in followers and, you know, downloads and whatnot. Cause, you know, digital is a big thing. And, you know, it's like I always tell people, it's like, well, I can't sign your Kindle, but they are available on Kindle and iBooks and whatnot. And so, you know, people react to the experience that they had with you. And if they think that, you know, if they're into you and what you do, even if they don't buy something right there at the moment, you know, you've made an impression, and hopefully it's an impression that when they get home and they've got they're going through their cards that they collect over the weekend or whatnot, they're like going, oh yeah, that the cover art I remember from this book, and it was really cool, and I read the back of it, and it sounded like something I'd be interested in. I'm going to go ahead and download it. And so, you know, you never underestimate the after effect of a good event.
No, not at all. And you've touched on a very important aspect about any event, and that's the value is not just in the hours of the event itself, but there's an extended promotional value to doing events. You know, there's the after sales, like you're talking about digitally, the people that connect with you online that may not buy your stuff just yet, but definitely may have liked you and been interested in you and then, you know, connect with you afterwards. And in time, they do become readers of yours. And I've definitely seen that happen where, you know, I've seen somebody at an event and a year later, you know, they finally take a look at one of my books and they like it, you know. So
right.
I've
had it happen more times than I have fingers and toes where people say, you know, I've been friends with you for years, but I finally started to read your stuff. And I've bought six of your books in the last week because I read the first one and I can't stop, you know. And so it's, you know, the impression you make today doesn't necessarily have an immediate gratification for you in terms of a sale. But, you know, if you build relationships and whatnot, who knows when that would pay off for you as an artist or a filmmaker or, you know, and also by building relationships, you know, that person may not buy your book, but they may, you know, say, hey, I see you got a book coming out. I've never read any of your stuff, but I have this great place where you might be able to film a book trailer or, you know, a great place mm-hmm. where you might take an author photo or, you know, I would love to, you know, I've told my library about you and they're going to order your books or whatnot. You know, so I mean,
mm-hmm.
just because you don't, you know, put a book into somebody's hand and take their money doesn't mean that it wasn't a worthwhile event.
Well, no, like for me, they, you know, they're like, we just want you to, you know, we want to get something out of it. I gave them a book, you know, for their shelves. They're happy with that. And I've got, you know, however many people I can get to that library to buy books at night.
Yep. Definitely.
Yeah, because, I mean, I've done several library signings where the libraries didn't stock my books before the event. But afterwards, you know, they bought copies of all of my books to, you know, for their stock. So, You know, you've got people there that are going to be checking out your book and getting exposed to your work that would never have had the opportunity had you not done the event.
Right.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, think added value at all times. And we'll take a moment to give a quick shout-out. We got some great creatives sitting in the chat room. David Sheridan and Molly Daniels are in the chat room tonight. And I wanted to say hi to both of you. Thank you for listening tonight. And we do actually have a caller, Michael Daniel. And I'm going to wing it. And I have not screened this caller, but they've been waiting for 20 minutes. So I'm going to just bring him on because he's been so patient. Yeah, you are on, caller. Thank you for your patience, and you can identify yourself. Caller, you are on the air. Hello?
No, they're not.
No, they're not. Not sure, but yeah, we do have a caller on the board here. I'm just trying to get their attention there. I guess they had to wait so long. They dozed out there. I'll try to see if we can bring him back there here in a second.
It's Molly Daniels, but she's only there to listen.
Oh, she's only there to listen.
Yeah,
okay.
She's only there to listen.
Okay. Somebody actually listening to the show by calling in. Yeah, tonight. Yes, they could get the direct audio, I guess, from the show tonight here. That's the scoop. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I got all excited because we love phone calls on the Star Chamber show. It's always fun to hear from everybody. And which does remind me, we do have a call-in number. It's 619-639-4616. Again, that's 619-639-4616. And, yeah, if you do want to call into the show, yeah, feel free to. And, yeah, if you want to chime in on the wonderful world of events and so on and so forth.
You mean, Stephen, anyone out there can call 619-639-4616 and they can talk to us?
That is correct.
Wow. This is amazing. I mean, just picking up the phone and dialing 619-639-4616 will get you in touch with us.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You can say hi.
You're scaring them, Michael.
Yeah, somewhere out there, one of our co-hosts, the Colonel Eric Jude, is probably itching to pick up the phone right now. He's just dying to say something.
The snow snakes have him.
Oh yes.
Get the Sheridan on the phone.
Yeah, we got to call in, yeah, because we are, yeah, definitely we want to hear from you. We want to get your thoughts. We want to get your comments at all times, not just in the chat room.
If somebody has a question, have them call in.
This is a fancy show. We have a chat room and a call-in number. We even have sound effects. There you go.
We're just like Oprah, except without the free cars.
Yes. And the big studio and the multi-million-dollar budget. We do have good sound effects, though.
Yes, we do.
That about shot the budget, though, on the sound effects for tonight. But
yeah, I promise to use this power only for good.
We do want y'all to call in. So call in, folks. Yeah, we want to hear from you. It's always cool to get call-ins. Be brave, be bold. But back to events.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was just gonna say it's amazing, especially if you do the same show, you know, every year. It's amazing. The people that you'd be surprised that people come for you, you know, as one of the, you know, you're one of the draws after a while. Because I know, especially with Horror Hound, it's like if you do the show time and time again, the same show, they even try to put you in the same location every year. So,
right.
For instance, this last time in Cincinnati, it was the debut of my Legacy of the Gods novel, Zeus's Warriors. It was the first time I had it there in Cincinnati. And there was a reader who finished Hades' Disciples in the car on the way to the show, and literally the doors opened and she ran to my table to buy Zeus, just because, you know, she had just finished, it ended in a cliffhanger, and she could not wait. And I heard from other people who were coming by saying, you know, I saw somebody reading this book in the lines or whatnot. So she spent the whole rest of the weekend reading the book while she was waiting in line for people and whatnot.
Yeah, one of the cool things, though, you touched on, though, is relationships with the event or venue. And that is a very important thing. For me, I mean, Joseph Beth Booksellers in Lexington is a prime example of that. When you do your own events and set up your own events, you do build relationships with venues. For the film screening side, Kentucky Theater, downtown Lexington, that's another one that I, you know, am very, you know, close to and loyal to. You do build a loyalty and a relationship with the venues that you work at. So,
and
that is
an amazing theater.
Oh yes, it is. You need to come. You need to drive here for the Raiden Valkyrie premiere, because that's where we intend to hold it. And on that note, we actually do have a caller, and this is a real one, because I actually screened it. I did my job and screened this call. Welcome, Holly Philippi, to the Star Chamber.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Holly.
Now, are you calling Holly, or are you just yelling across the kitchen?
Well, I'm actually in the office, and I'm going to have to shut the door because then you hear my big mouth back there at the end of the hall.
She's loud. Loud. Yes.
What I wanted to say is another good thing, and I've been doing a lot of research, let me tell you, is getting in with libraries. Libraries is a big thing. They are now, not only when you think library, because we're thinking old school, those of us that used to go to the library and pick up a physical book, but now they're doing e-books. They're actually renting out e-books. So they are able to purchase e-books. Now, you have to be on a forum, such as like Smashwords or something like that. So you have to talk to your publisher, which Michael and Daniel, you'll be taken care of because we are your publisher. But but yes, I'm getting into this now. But they do rent out, and Molly Daniels, she's in the chat room. That is a thing to look into, because they do rent out e-books now. And also,
yep,
a lot of the bigger libraries, the local public libraries, they do like books, book signings. They will have you come in. You can also do lectures with like, you know, future writers,
workshops,
students,
workshops.
Yeah, there's so many different things, and you get in good with them, you know, and then
some,
you
some
have got an outlet
have,
for.
Some actually have
go
screening
ahead
rooms. Sort of like if you're an indie filmmaker, some libraries like downtown Lexington Public Library has one. They actually have a theater kind of room and all kinds of stuff.
I mean,
we were at a library this past weekend and had a room full of 3D printers, for God's sake. Jessamine County Public Library.
It's unbelievable.
They're so high tech, it's ridiculous. But
I was at a book signing Halloween a couple years ago. At a local library, and they said, hey, you know, we're going to put you in this room. We've got a huge screen. Do you have any visual media? And I said, well, I have a DVD of my book trailers. And I'm like, going, great, you know, bring that. We'll put that. So I'm standing there, you know, with my table and whatnot in front of this, like, huge, like, 80-foot screen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They had my book trailers going on. You know, it was very surreal, but it was very cool. But yeah,
that's awesome.
I mean, there are local independent theaters, there are local independent bookstores, I've noticed, you know, especially here in Indy, there's a lot of themed stores that are opening up. You know, like we have a Books and Brews here, which is a micro brewery and a bookstore all in one. You know, so it's possible to find some really cool venues that are willing to work with you and do some really cool events.
And you'll do really good there. I mean, you pick up a lot of new readers that can turn into lifelong fans, and you know, usually sell really well at these events, more so than like an event that has 100 authors, you know.
Right.
Doing these little independent shows, you know, and you have more time. It's not so much chaos going on. You have more time for one-on-one interaction, and it's always good, you know, to do those too, you know.
Right. And you know, this time of year, with it being Christmas, you know, there's a lot of Christmas, you know, arts and hobby shows that spring up here and there and whatnot. And, you know, it's mm-hmm. you know, check with those, you know, see if you can set up a table. You know, you got people, you know, people who love books who are looking for gifts for their loved ones, and there you are.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Right.
I mean, even our Roller Girl team here in Lexington puts on a holiday kind of fair where they do exactly what Michael's saying. I mean, it's amazing the number of organizations that do holiday events, and you can easily work with one of them. And when you do work with one of them, treat it like you're setting up your own event. You know, find out how you can help them and what kind of media channels they're working with, and yeah, totally graft in and become your own event within the event. I think that's
right.
You know, that's something that is I think often overlooked. I mean, make yourself an event within the event.
Well, you are your main cheerleader.
Yeah.
You as an individual may have resources that other people in your situation might not. For instance, if you're a veteran, you know, there's VFWs all over the place that would be happy to have you for an event. If you're, into cars, you know, there's car shows everywhere, you know. Just you know, look at your, you know, Facebook's great because they you can tune into local events in your area that you may not even know about, and you know, get in touch with the people who are running those events and see if there's a, you know, sometimes they just all you have to do is bring your own table and chairs. You know, you don't even have to pay for a booth rental or anything. You know, you just set up.
You just show up.
Mm-hmm. I've done several paranormal events that are like that, where basically, you know, they open up the event to, you know, anyone who's interested in the paranormal, and you just come with your folding table and your chairs and set up, and you've got a built-in audience.
That's awesome.
Yep, without much overhead, which is always a good thing.
That's a great thing.
Yeah, free is always good.
Yeah, because when you're selling books and CDs or whatnot that have a low price point, you'd have to sell a whole lot to make up for if you're doing a San Diego Comic Con booth talk or whatnot.
Let's keep rooting for those major presses to keep selling the ebooks at $15 a pop, so we can drive our price points up and up and up.
Well, Stephen,
one of the events that I did, there was 15 of us there at a tent, and the tent was $450 for the weekend. And, you know, that's the only way that we can afford to do it, you know, and make it reasonable for each person to be there.
Yeah,
and you didn't even have room to set anything up but like a little stack of books. I mean, you know,
right.
If you had multiple books, you were screwed, because you sent me the picture and y'all were elbow to elbow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I mean, it was ridiculous.
And that
yeah.
wasn't
and
everybody
that's a real
there.
Hindrance. That's a real
that
hindrance.
That was not everybody there.
And Yeah, that's a real hindrance to an author that has a presentation and really puts a lot into what they do at a live event, like Michael does or Daniel. I mean, I think that's a really difficult situation.
Yeah. I was just going to say that it does make you kind of think on your toes and kind of you can't do everything that you would normally do if it was something by yourself, but it does sometimes make you, force you to be creative in your presentation.
Yeah, just be very. Yeah, there's 15 of you in a tent. Yeah, I guess you have to be really creative.
Well, that's when you become creative about what you're doing with the audience. Not really about the
interaction, Mike. Daniel.
Yeah. You either become creative or you become morose.
Morose, yes. That's what Michael was referring to. Yeah, when you're standing behind the table looking all despondent. Yes,
we've seen working that on your laptop.
Yeah, when you've lost 2 liters of sweat in the sauna that is the event. And your books are
well, Michael.
Up.
You and I survived one of the worst instances of that.
Sweat fest.
Sweat fest.
Yeah, me and Daniel missed that one.
Yeah, it,
2011. I guess that was 2011, roughly.
Yeah,
that was Sweatfest. Yeah.
It was the release of my first novel with Seven Star Press, Cinema of Shadows.
he got initiated. Well,
yeah.
We
talk
all
about
did.
A
bat I was peeling my shirt off. What are you talking about? We all.
I literally lost 7 pounds that weekend.
Oh my God.
I weighed myself the Friday before I left, and then I weighed myself the Monday when I got back, and I had literally lost 7 pounds.
Wow. And some books.
Luckily I had bought some books too. But it was interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, Stephen, we've got about 2 minutes left. Did you want to give a quick update? Speaking of, we touched on Raiden a little bit. Did you want to give a quick update on where we're at with Raiden?
Well, I sure will. As far as like the Raiden Valkyrie Saga of Lionheart, we will have one more teaser trailer released, and then we will release the main trailer to go in conjunction with the actual premiere. We're looking at we're in the home stretch right now. I mean, it's definitely looks like before the end of the year we're gonna have this thing wrapped up, and we just want to make sure we do it right though, because Kylie Jude is working really hard at it right now, and but it's coming along great. But expect a teaser trailer shortly, within the next week or two, and then the final trailer will coincide with the premiere. So
Very cool. We're
on the home stretch. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I cannot wait.
Yes. I know, it's so exciting. We've been on pins and needles for a while, but we're like, no, we want it done right. So take your time. But oh gosh, we can't wait.
Make sure it's done right. Yeah, that's the thing, and that's the thing that should govern all your activities, independent creative. Make sure you do it right. Yeah, don't half-ass it or rush it. Yeah, make sure it's done right.
Sometimes it means more time. There's the old saying, you only get one chance to make a first impression, and
that's
it's cliche, but it's true. You know, if you come across, I don't know how many people have told me horror stories about meeting this person or that person, and they're like going, I was interested in their stuff, but they're such a jerk, and whatnot. And that's somebody that you've lost that you'll never get back as a reader or a fan or a viewer, because.
Right.
So it's like whenever you're doing an event, you always have to be, quote unquote on. You can't,
on,
no matter what's
yeah.
going on in your life
mm-hmm.
at that point, you can't let it affect your relationship with your readers or your viewers or your patrons or whatnot.
Right. No matter how bad you feel, you got to stick in there.
We're coming
and
up on 30 seconds,
so
I'll say real quickly, next Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern, we will have our Star Chamber Show Thanksgiving edition. And Follow us on Twitter at Star Chamber Show. Also follow us on Facebook at Star Chamber Show. And if you do like the show and want to show some love, we do follow or do go and support our new Patreon for Seventh Star Press, because that covers the Star Chamber Show. Seventh Star Press does have a new Patreon, so show some love there if you'd like to. And yeah, gentlemen, we'll be seeing you next week at 9 p.m. Eastern for Star Chamber Show episode number 92. Night,
everybody. See you next week.